the town where the jazz is swinging high. It's the New Orleans Outsider with Chris Goffmeyer. Oh my, we may be outsiders, but our love for New Orleans is true. So come along as I share it all with you. Sights and sounds, food and drinks, we're here to take a ride with New Orleans Outsider as our guide.
And here are your hosts, Chris Goff, Peter Newkirch, and Justin Appleberry.
We have talked about several great restaurants in the greatest city in the world, New Orleans, on this podcast, but now we're going to get to the basics. We're going to go to a place that Peter and I have both been to, the New Orleans School of Cooking. That's today's topic. Welcome back to NOLA Outsider. I am Chris, along with Peter. Justin is on assignment. And by on assignment, I think he's either sleeping or maybe he's thinking about, you know, purchasing a ticket online, Peter, to go to the School of Cooking next time we're there. Because I think Justin, even though he fancies himself as a big-time barbecue extraordinaire guy, he probably needs to pick up a few things about how to cook fish properly.
Oh, that's the place to do it. They're going to teach
is.
You.
It is. The New Orleans School of Cooking, it's a place now, Peter, that when we go down there, we pass it all the time. It's in the French Quarter, and it is that's not the original place it was. We'll talk about that. But, you know, tell me about the first time you heard about and, I guess, went there. Because, you know, in a town that is so known for its food and its culinary expertise there that just has its own identity that we've talked about multiple times, like nothing compares to New Orleans food. This seems to be such a landmark, and it has been there for nearly 50 years.
Yeah, 1980, I believe, is when it opened. We didn't find it right away. You know, this we've been going down there a long time. This was, you know, I'd like to say that we knew about it before we ever went down there the very first time, but that's not true. I'd say probably second or third time that my wife Charlotte and I went down there. She's always hunting for deals, and she loves to find new stuff to do. And we were looking for things in the area that maybe were a little different, something to try other than just drinking, going to a restaurant or a museum. And this is the other, and not a tour. It's as we discussed last week. So that's how I'll give 100% credit. Charlotte found it, and we were in from the beginning. It looked exciting, and certainly was worth giving it a try. And we enjoyed it so much, we went back three more times.
Yeah, it's located at 524 St. Louis Street, like I said, in the French Quarter. You know, it was started in 1980. So, I mean, to talk about then, Peter, to go back in time, you know, that's a time, obviously, pre-internet, anything that would allow, you know, that culture, that kind of Cajun food, the Creole food, the mixture of it to be sort of, you know, well known across America, let alone the globe. You know, this is a time when it was, you know, it's so funny. We're so stuck in like instant information now that it's hard to remember the time when, well, how didn't people know how great this food was in New Orleans? And this was, you know, when the creator, Joe Kahn, who last name is spelled C-A-H-N, he was a guy that founded the New Orleans School of Cooking, like Peter said, in 1980. And Peter, it was a time, you know, when that was sort of, you know, Paul Prudhomme was around that era. You know, Commander's Palace had been around for a long time, but had not gotten to the levels that it has become now. New Orleans obviously had to have been known at, you know, I was three in 1980, but had to have been known as a culinary powerhouse at that point even as well. But, you know, it's the mixture of having the foresight of Joe to know that you're going to have a place where you can learn how to make, you know, some pretty basic dishes on the menu that you would see in New Orleans, but also combine that with the great art of storytelling, the great entertainment value you get with it. It was sort of ahead of its time, really.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I don't, as much as we all love Cajun and Creole cooking and the Southern style, that was all not as widespread by any means throughout the country. That was not a well-known cooking style. It was very regional. People who wanted to go to New Orleans went down there to have it, couldn't get a lot of the ingredients outside of that area. So, I mean, I would say that Joe was taking a bit of a risk by opening up a cooking school focused just on Cajun and Creole in 1980. Clearly, it worked out great for him because it's been going along with no problems ever since. That was just, yeah, that was probably a good risk to take, yeah, just to do that.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing, you know, in a city of tours, in a city of everything that's had around there. And as I mentioned, Paul Prudhomme, a guy who at the time, remember when we've discussed this at Commander's Palace, when he was tapped by the Brennans to become the lead chef, the head chef at Commander's Palace, that was going out on a limb because he wasn't a classically trained French chef. He was a guy that sort of made a lot of his family home cooking down in South Louisiana, that decided, and they wanted to sort of spotlight that kind of food. And so to say, you know, like I said, it's right around about the same time the School of Cooking came around. I can't remember the exact dates that Paul Prudhomme was put into power there, but it was in the late 70s, early 80s. So this is the same time period. So it is cool, like how he sort of, you know, had the foresight, Joe did, to sort of see that this is something that, you know, the masses will one day really appreciate if we start trying to get the word out, because it is such great food. I mean, I will always say the best food in the world. You know, Joe started in 1980, and then he ran the school for about 15 years, and he ended up selling it in 1995. And what I was reading in the research I did for this, they said that he became known after selling the school as the self-appointed commissioner of tailgating, because he would, I guess, go around the country in an RV and document football fans' cooking traditions. That's what he went on to do after this. Now,
that's pretty amazing. I mean, yeah. That's I love anything regional, and the more regional it stays, especially in this modern era where nothing can be held sacred as a local dish, to just drive around the country and search out truly regional cooking dishes based around football. That's even better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, this guy, what a forward-thinking guy this guy was to sort of do that, because now, of course, tailgating, especially being from Kansas City, it's a huge deal. But to go around and see all the different food that people are doing, I mean, this is like John Madden would go around and do some of the stuff when they highlight some Monday Night Football games back in the day, but not exactly the same way Joe was doing it. But, you know, Joe, of course, we can talk about the gift shop they have at the School of Cooking here. Let's talk about, Peter, if you like, just take a step back. Let's talk about when you actually go into the store, because, you know, there's so many shops and restaurants and bars, as we've talked about in the French Quarter. It's hard to explain unless you actually go there, you know, to sort of paint a picture of like what it's like to walk up and down these alleys, these streets that every 10 feet, there's another store. It's so easy to miss things. And you see so many of them have the classic wooden hanging signs out in front of the buildings, and the School of Cooking is no different. So when you walk in there, what you see basically as you open the door is a pretty large space. I mean, I'd say it's, I don't know, 40 by 30 type room that is basically essentially just sort of a gift shop or a shop for them, which sells numerous kinds of spices, you know, all the silverware you would need, you know, the spoons that you would need to cook with, the cookbooks of the chefs that have been at the school, but also chefs around New Orleans. And just the smell in there is just great, because behind this gift shop, right behind the gift shop, you see through the windows, but also above it, two floors above as well, are all cooking classes, whether it's hands-on demonstrations or demonstrations just from afar. You know, this place is really cool to walk into. And Joe is known, the first time I heard Joe's name was when you were like, you should try this spice. It's called Joe's stuff. And it's basically the Cajun stuff I use now on the green stuff, anyway, is what I use now, Peter, on a lot of stuff.
But yes, the Bayou blend.
The Bayou blend, yes. But there's several versions. There's hotter. There's just your classic, you know, Cajun seasoning. But, you know, the store itself is an awesome store to just peruse if you have nothing to do with the school. You can just walk in there, just like any other shop in the French Quarter, and see all the different, you know, like I will talk about my hands-on class I did later, but I bought a little container of the sliced garlic. So it's like wafer thin garlic slices that have been dried. And when we were making some of the gumbo and some of the stuff I was making, she gave me some of these, and you would just dump it in there and they would just melt in. And it was just a different way to add garlic. And I really liked it, so I bought some of that. I've bought the Joe's blend, the Bayou blend, Joe stuff several times. And you've got me on the garlic sauce and the Worcestershire sauce and I mean several things. I mean that this store, I know you like going there just for the store.
Oh yeah, and that's the thing. You can go in there even if you don't have time to go do a class. Go just look at the store. It's not massive. It starts before you even get in the store. You're right. It's if you're just walking down the sidewalk, like you're just going to see the signs up until you get right up on it. But even before you walk in the door, they have to the one side, they have the station where they're making pralines. And if they're cooking, you're going to smell that. You're going to smell the sugar and the pecans and everything. And they're making that there pretty much right in the window. The store's not, you can walk around with no problem, but it is packed full of stuff. And pretty reasonably priced. You're not, I would hesitate to call it a gift shop in the sense of what most people think of an overpriced kind of useless stuff. Your all important roux spoon can be purchased there, and they are very good quality, true wood roux spoons that are flat sided as they need to be.
I have to ask you about that. I have to ask you about the roux spoon before you go on. Yeah. Why are roux spoons so damn expensive?
Because they have to be what they are. They have to have that flat edge. They have to be long enough to keep your hand out of the roux when it's cooking. Because as you well know, because you do it several times a year, it takes a long time to make a black roux.
It does.
Yeah, like hours long. And so, you don't want that handle too short because you're just going to cook your hand along with it. And if it's not perfectly flat, you're not going to get all the stuff off the bottom of the pot. It's going to burn instead of cooking slowly as it is. And they're wood, you know, and they're made for them. And of course they're selling a little bit of the hype, but
of course
they stamp their name on it. But
it's not just there. It's like sometimes if you I can buy a wooden spoon at Walmart for like 90 cents, but a roux spoon somewhere anywhere in New Orleans, not just a school cooking, is like you're talking like $30 to $50. Like
yeah, they're hardwood spoons. They're going to last. You don't put them in the dishwasher ever. It's like putting cast iron in the dishwasher.
Sure.
You wipe them down, get them clean. But the hardwood spoons are going to last a lifetime and more. And I'd say that's, I've told a couple people when I was, professionally cooking, we didn't use a lot of wood. We were very focused on our knives and other things. That was your kind of your status of everybody had their own knives and what their preference was. But we just didn't use a lot of wood. And I would go back now and I would have almost all my utensils would be wood because that's pretty much what I switched to now that I cook at home, because you can buy good quality hardwood spoons and spatulas and everything else. They will last you a lifetime.
Yeah, no, I get it. And especially if, like you said, if you don't put it in the dishwasher and treat it well, they can last a long time. Yeah. But like you were saying, like the store, and I don't know, it is just a store and it's not a high price store. I think a very average price, if not a slightly below average for what you're getting there, especially in that city where the rent is high. It's not a gift shop. It's more of a store. I say it's a gift shop. And the reason why that came out of my mouth at first is just because after you take part in a demonstration in one of their classes, you walk out and you instantly want to buy stuff. So it reminds me of when I do it at a comedy show or anything else. I'm like, okay, I just learned about these 10 things. So I need a garlic sauce. And, I'm buying one of everything after I leave.
What I appreciate about them is they list there is a hot garlic sauce, but the garlic sauce, it is technically a hot sauce, but it is much more garlic forward. Sure. It is unique to that store. When I run out, I get it shipped up here. If I don't make it in between, if I can't get down there to get it from the store, the Worcestershire sauce is the best I've ever had anywhere.
It is
absolutely amazing. And they just, everything, all of their spice blends and everything are great. They got coffee of different places and they have a great collection of cookbooks. I'm not a huge cookbook guy. As I talked about, the Paul Prudhomme books, one of the few that I've helped on to it. You can get it there still, right there. The great Kevin Belton, they got a couple of his books, but they spread around. And then they have like more regional collections of like the greatest church cookbook collections. How to Put on a Southern Funeral is one of the cookbooks. They got great recipes in those.
Yeah. No, they have a awesome cookbook selection there. And as you know, I have bought a lot of cookbooks from not only just the chefs you mentioned, but also Just all the classic restaurants down there. The Antoine's, the Dookie Chase I got, the Napoleon House, the Brennan's, you know, they all have their own. So it's fun to sort of, if you love that food, it's fun to collect all those to see how they're just a little bit different than the others. But the, I do want to talk about Kevin Belden. I mean, some of the guys that Joe Kahn is the guy that everyone knows about. When I took my class, my teacher was like, just wouldn't shut up about how much she loved Joe and just his vision and like meeting him. He's still around, you know, he doesn't work there anymore, but he will be there a lot, I believe. At least that's the way she sort of portrayed it. And, you know, there's been some other ladies. When I was doing some research, there's some, I call it praline. That's a Midwest saying. We call it pralines down there. There's pralines. It's always weird to hear that word, you know, said differently in different areas, but we call them the praline ladies. They were known as Ann Leonard and Harriet Robin. They became fixtures at the school for their praline making demonstrations that you talked about. That's just right inside the store there. But also the biggest name to come out of there as far as a sort of a nationally known guy to a degree was Chef Kevin Belton. And I would like to do just a show on Kevin Belton at one point, because I think we could talk about him for a while and just his background and what he's done. But he has 4 cookbooks that he's made since he's become sort of the PBS cooking show guy out of New Orleans. And I, of course, own all 4 of those because I love him. And I've been looking up his older books that he had even before he got there. Big Kevin, Little Kevin. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, if anyone out there has either the PBS app or they have like the PBS like 1, 2, and 3 on their, you know, their digital set, you know, their digital antenna, I should say. You know, you should check his show out because he does a really good job. He's a gentle giant. He's dropped a lot of weight since day one on TV. He's still the big guy though. And,
he's 6'8", isn't he?
He was a former NFL player, professional football player for a while, but yes, I think he's 6'8", they said. And I think at his biggest, I would have thought he was over 400 pounds at his biggest. He was a big boy, but, he's a dude that, I enjoy watching. He's got a really fun attitude. He's the sort of the main dude that does one of the television affiliates down there, uses him as their sort of in-studio chef all the time. And he's by far the biggest name that has come out of the School of Cooking in terms of, you know, someone has their own show, multiple seasons, still doing it now. And, you know, I would love to meet him one day because he's just been a fun guy to sort of learn some cooking things. And, of course, I've made several things from his books. I don't know if you have yet, but the shrimp and grit I love. So
yeah, your version of his shrimp and grits is great. And it just to show how great this whole place is, we haven't even talked about getting into the dining room yet. We're still talking about the store in the front of the whole building. You know, there's so much more after, because they keep the doors closed until they let you in, so you're wandering around the store and everything else. And yeah, that's how good that store alone is. We haven't even gotten into the actual cooking school.
Yeah, let's talk about what the school involves as far as the actual, not the store, if you pay to be in a class. So there's 3 things they do. They do private events there all the time. They have a couple different areas where they do that. They have a place across the street that hosts like, you know, hundreds of people. And then they have places in this building at 524 St. Louis Street that will host, I don't know how many was in your class, Peter. It couldn't probably be more than 50, probably maybe less than that. 30 to 50 in that class. And then the hands-on class, I believe they kept it to like, I want to say 10 to 12. I can't remember exactly how many were in there, but they keep it pretty small because, of course, whoever's helping in that has to, you know, help everyone. So there's just not enough time to have too many more people in there. But that's what you get involved in when you go down there. And it's interesting, like when I went down there, Peter, like I sort of looked at it when I ended up doing my class, which my wife got me for Christmas one year just for myself, because my wife could care less about cooking, but she likes it when I cook. So I went down there and, you know, I was sort of looking at it like, man, I'm going to get to learn how to do some really cool stuff here that I've never done before. But I realized in my class that this is something that couples do. This is something that's sort of a date thing somewhat to, or maybe like a early dating, like early relationship thing to do. You know, because it's, I don't know, the people that were in my class weren't there to be like, I'm going to I'm going to get all the secrets and learn how to make this at home. It was more like, this is just a fun, different thing to do in New Orleans. And I can respect that. I understood why they were doing that. Let's talk about your demonstration classes, because you've never taken the hands-on class, but you have been how many times to the demonstration classes?
Four times. Just to clear it, there is one other version of it, which is the lab class, which is they just cook one dish and very much get into the history of it. And that's a much more in-depth class.
Didn't know about that
I've
one.
I've not done that either. I would like to get, I think I'd like to try that one. So the demo classes, they do them twice a day, 10 a.m., 2 p.m. Recommend doing the 10. There's usually one more small dish with the 10 p.m. I'm sorry, the 10 a.m. one. And it's a little cheaper. It's $5 more expensive. Absolutely worth it. If you need to maybe have a little bit of a dry out day, it's great to do it. Every class, water, iced tea, lemonade, and a beat of beer is available for everyone. You just get it yourself. It's self-serve and it's all available. So maybe if you have someone who's doesn't drink or not is drinking as much that day, they can teetotal it a little bit there. Yeah. I would say maybe in all those classes, Charlotte and I were talking, I think there were six people per table.
Okay.
And you do have to, someone's going to have their back to it, and you got to turn around and to watch. And it looks like it's set up like a cooking show, so you're watching, you can see them, and then they have the big, it's probably an 8x4 mirror cantilevered so that you can see exactly what they're doing, what's going on inside the pot and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Everybody, biscuits and cornbread with every meal, no matter what you're getting.
Nice.
That's an automatic. And, the fresh, nothing like fresh cornbread and fresh biscuits, especially at 10 a.m. in the morning. the demo classes tend to be much more the classic dishes of New Orleans and Cajun Creole style cooking. They run somewhere between 2 and 2.5 hours.
Okay. I mean, so basically what you and my other friends have talked about when they went to this club, the demo classes, is it's really awesome. We watch, we drink, we eat, and then we get to eat everything. You get a portion of like everything they make, right? And you're basically paying for the class, but also you get a meal as well. So it's like you're double dipping. It's nice.
And it's a full size meal too. Here's a little tasting cup or just a couple bites. It's if they bring out gumbo, it's a bowl of gumbo. And if they make what they make, and if there's extra, they're like, who wants seconds? Well, while the next thing's kind of like, I go up and get, a whole second bowl of gumbo. I'm not not gonna say no to that. Jambalaya, etouffee, chicken creole, banana pudding, or bread pudding, bananas Foster. Just all those classic dishes down there. You'll see how to do it. They will give you a lot of really good foundational tips of things like with red beans and rice. You always want to pull some out and mash it or blend it and then add it back in. That's what thickens it to that texture that's so perfect that you really only find down there.
Yeah, the demo classes, if you walk into the store and you're just perusing the store, like I said, the smells are great because obviously there's real cooking going on like between you and a pane of glass. So when you are in there, you can sort of peek in there through the door glass and you can see the guy, what you're talking about, sort of leading the class at the front, people at tables watching. So you can look up at and see what he's cooking above it. Like you said, like a cooking show. And it's really fun to, like, that's what sort of made me want to take one of these. Not only just you guys saying how much fun you had watching and eating, because it tasted so good and it was just fun to hear the stories, but also, it's just the next level of when you're in there and enjoying the entire store, you want to go and do more. I've never done the demo class. The demo class runs, I want to say, $40 to $50. I think it's like right around there per head. And like I said, not only are you learning how to make classic dishes from New Orleans, but you're also being able to eat as well. So that's a pretty good deal. Now, the hands-on class, you know, I didn't know, like I said, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if it was going to be a bunch of Peters in there that know everything and they just wanted to get, you know, get maybe a couple new things on their list. But when I got the gift certificate to go, which allowed me to pick whatever class that I wanted to go, when I went on their calendar online on their website, which is NewOrleansSchoolOfCooking.com, you can go on there and you can book a room and any book a class, and they're pretty much open every day except like, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving. You know, there's like 6 days a year they're not open, but they're open every day. And I did mine actually on New Year's Eve. And I did it on in the morning time because usually they have two of those classes as well in the morning and night. And it was fun because I remember talking with you and my other friends about like which one would you take, because you know there's different menu items each time. The one I chose was my dishes were chicken and andouille gumbo, Gulf fish with brown butter almondine, Gulf crab served with pecan rice, and then finish it off with bananas Foster. Now, also, you would mention you get, like, on the demonstration classes, you get drinks up to, like, a beer and, like, some, you know, lemonade, some non-alcoholic stuff. But in the cooking class, it's funny because our teacher was great. She was like, hey, I want this to be fun. I want everybody to talk, you know. So here's some, there's a Bloody Mary bar, you know, like, it was, there was some hard alcohol flowing in there, okay. So it makes, it, as you know, makes cooking and everything else a lot easier. So, you know, it was funny because when you get into this demonstration class, it's on the one I went to was on the second or third floor of this building. So you each have your own station and you have, I don't know what it is exactly called in the culinary world, Peter, but you have your own station where it's like the electric tops, the stovetops are there. But if something is not on the stovetop for more than like 5 seconds, it shuts off immediately. So it doesn't cause fires.
The induction burners.
Yeah, so that's what it was. And one thing that, so if you're worried like, hey, I don't know what to do, I'm not a big cook, but I'd like to learn something, but I'm not really, I don't have knife skills, because going into this, I'm like, hey man, are they gonna make me cut an onion or something? You know, like, not that I can't, but I've seen you cut an onion and me cut an onion, Peter, and it's different, okay? And mine is not the better way. So I was like, but so when we got there, they had the meal sort of prepped out for you and everything is pre-cut in the cups for each, you know, course. So when we were doing it, you didn't have to do much, you know, right. As far as preparing it, it was all pretty prepared for you. But it was the steps of it all. You know, I understand you don't have like 7 hours to sit here and do this every day for people. Right. So I understand the corners you must cut on this, but I thought it was fun.
You have to do the sauteing and the seasoning and the
of course.
Yeah.
Well, we did the gumbo. And of course, like with you being in my life, we've done gumbo fests at the winery that we have down here. So you would come over and you've taught me the difference between, you know, a peanut butter level roux, meaning peanut butter colored, versus a almost black roux. And, you know, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, if you're from the Midwest, you don't really necessarily know what a roux is. I mean, you've heard the word, you understand it's somewhat of a soup base, but you do not understand, or at least I did not understand, how finicky and great it can go from like, that's okay, to, oh my God, this tastes so much more flavorful, so much richer. And that is what you taught me with that. So when I was making the gumbo on the course, you know, it's me by myself. So it's like I was on an island by myself because you had like a group of like six friends. You have a couple like married couples and then there's like me. Right. So I'm over there by myself and she's like, hey, baby, you can make that as much as you want. You can go. You keep going black. Go blacker. Go black. You know, like so. Everyone else was like done and on their next course. But I was sitting there just stirring the roux. I'm like, no, I wanted this to be really dark, you know, because we're used to making roux for like, you know, 150 people, right? This was just right. For basically me. So it wasn't taking nearly as long, but that was fun. You know, there's some, you know, they will let you be a little bit creative in that class. You don't have to follow it like book to book, you know, step to step each time. And so that was fun. Like, each time after you made the gumbo and the Gulf fish and the Gulf crab, you would then sit down in this table with the other people in your class. And there's you, like I said, 10 to 12 people. And you sit down, you meet the people, you sort of chat about it. She sort of goes around, you introduce yourself, you say where you're from and what made you come here and whatever. And then after you're done eating your main course, which was a ton of food and I couldn't nearly finish it all, then you get up and you that's when the Bananas Foster starts, which is they did do the flambé, like much like you would see at Brennan's where they prepare it at the table. You know, they sort of record you a little bit. They want to record you flambéing it and also just throwing in the cinnamon little spice to make it flicker like a firework, you know. It was very cool to be a part of all that. I thought it was very fun. You know, I guess this isn't a criticism. I'd say the only thing I'd say about it is if you're going into it like I was sort of going into it, which is, hey, this is going to be a class where I'm going to learn some new awesome trade secret or some tricks of the trade or whatever. It wasn't necessarily that. It was more just a sort of an intro to, you know, Cajun Creole cooking and sort of some of the basic steps if you've never done anything like this before, which, again, to a mainstream audience, totally understand why they're doing that. I remember calling you or telling you that, you know, I think you'd have fun because it's a fun couple of 2-3 hours to do this, but I don't necessarily know if you'd want to do it because you're obviously much more advanced in this and it would be purely just to go through the steps to have, you know, to pass some time for you, really.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, that's why I think the lab one I'd be interested in because it gets much more into the depth of that single dish.
Yeah.
And where the history of it is and how they developed it it doesn't really say you have to have more skills, but it's a more intensive look into that single dish. The demos, like I said, did four. Obviously, it was Charlotte and I and all that. We've gone with, we did one by ourselves, and then the other ones were all with a combination of other friends. Had great time every time. It was four different instructors each mm-hmm. time. They're giving local history. They're giving, you know, witty stories. They're all like, you have to be outgoing to work there. It's not someone showing up going, okay, I'm going to make gumbo. And then they stand there for, you know, half hour, not saying anything. They're doing a show while they're cooking also. And they're explaining the history of that dish, but they're explaining the history of the city. They're telling some inside stories. You know, the guy and they'll get a little sassy with you. There's one lady, she was great, but she'd been doing it a long time. She did not take a lot of flack. She stayed on schedule. And there was this older lady who, for some reason, was trying to write everything down, even though she was repeatedly told, you get a menu with the recipe card with it all. And she's trying to, and finally the lady's like, lady, she didn't even go. She's like, man, she's just like, lady, we moved on. That's two dishes ago.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm done talking about it. Like, I don't know what to tell you. We moved on. So yeah, she just shut her down. She's like, she was tired of her interrupting her.
I can understand that. I mean, like, but when you're running a tight ship like they do, I mean, it's that's somebody could see that as like, wow, she was rude. I was just trying to do it at my own pace. But man, this is a train, you know, like you have to stay somewhat within a walking distance of the train or you're going to be left behind. That happened with a little bit with us, like nothing bad, but it was just, you know, they are on a schedule. They have, you know, stuff coming up and I feel like they give you plenty of time. But I mean, if you're in there, like, you know, I don't know if you've been partying before you went, or maybe you're still sleepy from the night before, maybe you're not going to be able to keep up as well, but you're right. They are very, the instructors there I found have been there a very long time. They have deep roots in the culinary world from somewhere else. And they like love New Orleans so much they moved here, which is the case with my chef, or they were just, you know, people from New Orleans that have had, you know, just decades of experience in other restaurants around there. And they just decided to become a teacher of culinary stuff later in their life, but they are well experienced. And I think everyone I saw there was super entertaining, super outgoing, very experienced, and you know, no one left not super happy. When you leave the demo, the hands-on class, when you leave that, there is a certificate you get. When you get home, you basically email them and say, hey, here's my you know, I did the class, like here's my teacher, she told me to email you or whatever. And then they will mail you in the mail like a couple weeks later a certificate saying that you passed the New Orleans School of Cooking hands-on class, which I thought was a cute thing to add at the end.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great.
But like I said, if you're going to do the hands-on class, go online, check out the calendar, because every day is different. Like, I remember asking you, like, you know, there was some more outside of the box stuff on some days. They had like a Creole ratatouille. They had a, the grillades. They had, they had several things that I was like, well, that's different. You know, like, I mean, it's not your typical shrimp and grits and fish or whatever. This is stuff outside the box. But at the end of the day, what am I really going to make more? I'm probably never going to make my family Creole ratatouille again, but it would have been interesting. But like I said, if you want to do some different stuff, their menu changes pretty greatly. So check it out on their website.
Yeah. I think, you know, they don't want to get bored, so they're not going to make the same thing for 2, 3, 4 months. Yeah. They change them up. They'll bring back their classics, the ones that are most popular, but yeah, they're always trying to insert new dishes, to try out, and you know, I'm sure they do a lot of testing to see what works within the time frame that they have for the number of people that they have to do. You know, speaking of also signing up for classes, looking at, they have a great website, very easy to use, shows mm-hmm. everything, no problems. You can get reservations. You're not going to get in there if you try and walk in for a class.
They're always full.
You need to. It is one of those things where you need to plan ahead if you're going to go. Not like the day ahead or the 2 days, like, oh, we're going to be down here. What about Thursday? No, you need to, like, 2, 3 months out.
No, I agree. I booked mine. I mean, just because I already had the gift certificate, I probably booked mine 6 months in advance just because I knew we were going there. And I am looking at the class. So the hands-on class is $149. And then the morning class of the demo is 44 and the afternoon class is 39. Like you said, there's one extra food item on the morning class, which is the $5 more. But yeah, it is booked solid, especially the hands-on. I believe it's only 10. So at that point, you know, there's just not a lot of space. So, and they're basically every day. So, I mean, if you know you're going there, you have to give yourself a little bit of time, but you'll be able to do it if you wait. But like I said, look, we're going in like 6 weeks, Peter. And like, I'm already doing, and we're going in this probably the slowest time of the year in the summer, but it's still going to be, like, I still want to make reservations because we're at a point in life now where virtually, I'm going to say no one cooks anymore, but that's not true. But most people eat out. So like when you're in New Orleans, especially, you better make a damn reservation for anything you want to do.
Absolutely. And it's a beautiful space too. Like there's that dining room that you're in. I don't know about the hands-on, but it's a beautiful dining room, and it looks out on this great courtyard. Very comfortable, a good amount of space, nice and light.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. The second floor and its third floors are really cool. It's this old, I guess it's an old molasses factory. Is they bought this building when they started it, and it's a really cool building, and they've really, you know, obviously tricked it out nicely over the years for this cooking school. So I guess like you've sort of answered it by what you've done in the past, but like, you consider it good enough to make it a return. You've gone multiple times, like a repeat person to go to these classes. Like what is it about it that makes you, you know, some people might go to this and be like, you know, I've done it. That's cool. Let's moving on. But you enjoy doing it multiple times. Why is that?
Well, it's a lot of what we talked about. They change the menus up a lot. Every instructor is really, really, really good. They're entertaining. They're putting on. You're getting a dinner and a show every time you go, and it's not the same dinner and show.
Yeah.
So you get to go and try something new, and you learn. Like I said, you learn some tips. Even you know, I was 17 years in the profession. You know, classically trained and apprenticed and everything else. And there's still little tips and tricks that I learned from a place like that. That does make a big difference. You know, as you were talking about with the roux, how dark does a dark roux need to be? To be right.
Well, to me, it's like you've taught me, it needs to be just a hair before it turns complete midnight black.
Yeah.
But that is the base of what makes gumbo great. And I've been taught that in real life. So, if you guys want to check out the New Orleans School of Cooking, I think it's a really fun thing to do. As we talked on our last episode about tours, this is it's somewhat of a version of a tour, I guess, but it's really more an experience that you get to pay for. You know, it's I can't imagine taking a class like this really in any other town in America. I mean, I guess being from Kansas City, you know, that I guess you could possibly go to, you know, there is a culinary academy that I've gone to on the Kansas side over here, where they will sort of take you through some of the, you know, how to smoke barbecue, how to do certain things in the world of barbecue. So I guess it does exist, but I, you know, for a guy that's been in all the states and, you know, I've eaten food everywhere, like I really don't understand how a class would exist as much as it does in New Orleans. So this makes perfect sense to me. And so, you know, I think it's a great thing to do, and it's well worth the money, especially if you're only going to go for the demo class, which is about, you know, be there about 2 hours, maybe. You do that in the morning at like 10 o'clock and you've already had your lunch and you're ready for the day. I mean, that's as cheap as you're going to pay for even a carriage ride around the French Quarter. It's a really good deal.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of, it is another unique aspect of New Orleans that they have this distinctive cooking style that they can promote all the time. You know, they sell you the products at the stores we talked about. You really only hear about these type of level of cooking classes. As much as I, you know, God bless America and everything great, you don't hear about these regional style cookings in the country. Mm-hmm. Like you said, maybe barbecue here, but barbecue takes a long time.
It does. Yeah.
So these are the things where you're hearing, these are more like, you know, in Tuscany or in Southern France or whatever, where you know, you're going to learn how to make something. That's really, I don't know anywhere else, as you said, in the States where you really see a cooking school like this, that's just focused on a very regional style, that is so iconic of what it is.
What if you were going to make one meal from New Orleans, like a Cajun Creole style, what is the dish that you are happy that you have in your repertoire to make for your family and friends?
Oh, geez. You know, as we talked about, you know, I've not made boudin, but, you know, as we talked about, it's probably the most iconic single food that you can get. But I'm going to say, I know you will go with shrimp and grits. I think I would go with barbecue shrimp.
See, that's a great answer, because barbecue shrimp, I grew up with my grandmother made excellent barbecue shrimp. And that's, you know, from being in Kansas City, if you don't know the New Orleans type of barbecue shrimp, you think, oh, barbecue shrimp, what is that? You marinate it and put it on the grill? Because that's what you think of in Kansas City. But in New Orleans, it's completely different. And she used to make an excellent version of that all the time. And that was because she had it at Pascal Minnelli's in New Orleans. She loved it there. And it's really hard to find, like, you probably know where, but in my regular haunts, I can't find head-on shrimp in Kansas City. But man, that makes such a difference. Sort of like the crawfish live, you know?
Yeah, it does need to be head-on shrimp. It's one of those, you know, I'm gonna put it, maybe they'll send us a bottle or two of something for promoting them, sorry. But their Worcestershire sauce makes a huge difference in barbecue. That's the only one. I won't make it if I don't have their Worcestershire sauce.
And that the other one you showed me, the garlic pepper sauce or whatever, that stuff is great. Like, just it's in the same bottle type, you know?
Yeah. You know, and the other thing that makes, you know, my opinion, a great barbecue shrimp is specifically Budweiser. Because it says King of Beards on it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, Budweiser was not the brand that's dead. So it's still safe. It'll still be around for a while. So,
yep.
But yes, I know you like to, you did not have that at our crawfish boil this year, because I didn't have any. So
I did not. No, I did not.
But you had to go with an inferior product. But anyway, I think it's cool. I think it's a fun school to go to, and you guys should check it out if you enjoy cooking at all. Especially if you have never done any kind of Cajun food, check it out. Like I said, Peter is at a expert level. I'm sort of like right above novice. So it was a fun place to go, and I recommend it totally. So check it out. It's NewOrleansSchoolOfCooking.com. Peter, I don't exactly know what our topic will be next week. Of course, I want to talk about Richard Piano Scott at some point, but I would like to have him on with us, so I would have to coordinate that. But maybe we can do some kind of musical topic next week. If it's not Richard Scott, it can be, you know, we can pick a Fats Domino or James Booker, or, you know, I mean, even Kermit Ruffins. I mean, I don't know, just a, we haven't really gone down that way yet, or maybe a venue, a specific one or three venues that we want to talk about that you could see live music in, because as much food and drink as we've talked about, we haven't necessarily hit on the music side.
That is true. Yeah. Maybe some of the better venues that we've extensively talked about how great Fritzl's is but there are so many other places that we have seen live music are all great. And it also depends on time of day. I mean, it's got a little bit of that same issue that, you know, Nashville used to have, where you go in at noon and someone's playing in a bar somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
They're good. Totally. This is not the cheap band that they get to play. These are, everyone's excellent.
Yeah, no, if you're the worst act in New Orleans as a musician is better than like 90% of the acts in anywhere else in most cities. Okay, maybe not Nashville, or maybe not New York. I don't know, like, you know, San Francisco. I don't know who would have like a comparable, you know, artsy feel to it. But yes, it is a town that at any time of the day, it is real talent everywhere. Much like the food is as well. I mean, the worst restaurant in the French Quarter is better than anything I think in my town here. So, that's just how it is. But we will talk about something music related with New Orleans on the next episode. And I think maybe we'll bring back Justin from Banishment. He had never gone to the New Orleans School of Cooking, and so he was definitely suspended because of that. So,
yeah, he could have done color commentary, and asked some insightful questions, but he chose to sit this one out. So,
yeah, well, he's probably sleeping. But anyway, well, for Peter, I am Chris. Thanks for joining us on another episode of NOLA Outsider. Check us out at NOLAOutsider.com or listen to the podcast and recommend it to your friends, and give us a 5-star rating if you feel we're worthy of that, because we enjoy doing this. It's purely just for fun, and we love the city of New Orleans, and we continue to do this each and every week because there's not another city in the world like it, and we love it. So thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time right here on NOLA Outsider.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the NOLA Outsider podcast. We'd love to hear about your experiences in the greatest city in the world. Email us at outsidernola@gmail.com. Also, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/NOLAOutsider or visit NOLAOutsider.com. See you next time on NOLA Outsider.